Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network. Where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo, what it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Podcast. My name is you. What's happening? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by Chiefs Focus. And again, my name is you.
You. Detective, you?
Not you, you.
Who?
You.
Who?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
And I am your host. What's happening? What it do? This is 100 Yard Dash. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, what have you. You know, it's all out there. You know the deal. We're doing something different again. I've been saying it all year, and I'm going to get it until you get it through your head. The 100 Yard Dash will not, if you search 100 Yard Dash, you're going to find it under the Chiefs Focus umbrella. So now we're under the Chiefs Focus umbrella. And so like and subscribe to YouTube. If you like and subscribe to the podcast. Look, we get it done. And also, you can join me on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X, what have you, and comment. And I can put those on screen, and we can talk. I want to talk. I want to talk with you. So, hey, that's the way we get it. And I do this about once a week. Once a week, normally on Wednesdays, sometime on Thursdays. Ain't no Thursday night game this week. So what was the point of me doing it any other time than today? And plus, this week is a little bit different than normal weeks of football. So I did it a little different. So, but anyway, you can find me on Wednesdays normally, but sometimes I do it earlier. Sometimes I do it later. It is what it is. If you set up your notifications, you can know when I'm on. Interact with me. I like conversation with you guys and gals. You know, I like the conversation because that gets us talking. And so just subscribe to the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, YouTube stream, and various other platforms, Facebook, so forth, so on, X, and all that. Without further ado, let's get into it. That was weak. That was super weak. There we go. So the rundown of the show. Now, normally I do a rundown of the show, and it's normally a little bit more extensive than this, but instead of doing the Week 18 rundown, we will talk playoffs. Don't get me wrong. We will talk playoffs because that's going to be a big one, and it starts this Saturday. But, you know, we got some NFL situationships happening. So we're going to talk about that first, and then we'll get into the playoff scenarios and situations and all that. And so, without further ado, let's get it. So Monday is what we call Black Monday, and it's not in the form of what Black Friday is for most of you. Most of you already know. For those that don't, it's a lot of firings going on in the NFL. And to be honest with you, this is one of my favorite times of year. And the reason I say it is because, yes, I understand people lose their jobs. I get it. And I'm not saying just the head coaches lose their jobs. A lot of their staff lose their jobs as far as the assistant coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, senior staff, whatever. I'm not saying that I hate that. But what I am saying is it is a new beginning for a new franchise every year, hopefully. A new franchise. It's a new beginning for them. And you never know what that beginning, that new beginning will bring. You just sit here and I'm going to tell you, speaking as a Chiefs fan, you have the highest optimism. I remember when Scott Pioli and them came to town. And, you know, the Patriot way was the Patriot way and they were winning and it was a huge deal. Yeah, that didn't work out so well. The Todd Haley experiment did not work out so well. And then after that, we got Romeo Crennel, who did what he could with the team that he had. And then it just looked all down in the dumps. But here comes Andy Reid, changed the whole trajectory of the team. The whole trajectory. So when I say this is my favorite time of year, I'm talking about the opportunities these franchises are going to be able, should be able to experience, if you understand what I'm saying. The opportunities these franchises should be able to experience. So let's get into the situation that is the firing of certain head coaches. First of all, you know, there's all of these guys are guys you already know. Most of these guys you've already known were already fired. Some of them already had situations that they were going to be on, and you knew that they weren't going to be there for long. But some of these came as a surprise. Let's talk about the first one, Frank Reich. Frank Reich for the Carolina Panthers. Now, this one's a different one. He only had like 11 games under his belt. And yes, they were horrible games. Don't get me wrong. They were wretched, wretched games to watch. Carolina was not a ticket that you wanted to buy. It just wasn't. They had a new quarterback. They had a bunch of things, but what they didn't have was a good game plan for that quarterback. They had no good game plan for him. He did not look good. He did not win his first game until like week 10, 11, 12, 13. I don't remember. It's not even important. But, you know, they only won two games this year. And after spending your first round pick, moving up with the Bears, giving up loads and loads of stuff to get that first pick, you expect a little bit more. I don't know if I expected a little bit more in the first year, but you also know who David Tepper is. David Tepper is a hothead who likes things done when he likes them done. What's up, Philip? A lot of openings. Panthers have a young QB with a huge upside. Yes, great, decent cap. David Tepper is one of those hothead owners who I don't know if he enjoys it, but he owns several different teams over several different sports. And he's had, and I always get Frank Reich mistaken. I always misquote his name. I always keep saying, now I can't even think of the dude's name, but the Nebraska coach. I always say his name and mean Frank Reich, but Nebraska's coach, current coach, Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule's the guy I always end up saying, and he's the former coach of the Carolina Panthers. But he's fired Matt Rhule, and he's fired Frank Reich, and he's only on the team for 2 years. What does that tell you? The dude is kind of a tyrant, and that doesn't even include other sports that he has ownership of. So Frank Reich only had 11 games, and they got him canned. So the next guy, I saw a comment. Hold on. Nope. I didn't see one. Thought I did. The next guy, Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels shouldn't, in my opinion, should have never had the opportunity to coach professional football game. But hey, everybody's opinion is not my opinion. And shoot, my opinion is what it is. It don't mean much. It means a little bit, but not enough to matter, right? I don't own a team. I don't have $6-7 billion to spend. These owners do. Mark Davis does. But this dude was sitting in your own division not too long ago with the Denver Broncos and then trotted Tim Tebow out there and won a playoff game with two pass attempts. That's not innovation. That's not innovation. I don't know what Mark Davis was thinking. This dude is a tyrant. This dude is basically David Tepper, based on what I just said. The ownership of the Panthers, head coach for him, and thrown with a Raiders jersey. And the Patriot way doesn't work, bro. The Patriot way does not work. And he tried to bring that into this locker room, and it just didn't work. Not only that, when Antonio, he knew who had the locker room. He knew he didn't have it anymore. So what did he do? He went and asked Antonio Pierce to, you know, reportedly, he went and asked Antonio Pierce to, you know, boost up the locker room a little bit. And guess what? Antonio Pierce was a member of the New York Giants at that time, and they beat the Patriots, and he gave him a pep talk about how they beat the Patriots and so forth and so on and what have you. McDaniels pulled him aside afterwards, allegedly, and said, "Don't you ever talk about the Patriots, bro? Get out of your feelings. Get over yourself. Get over yourself." And I'm interested to see if Josh McDaniels lands somewhere. I'm very interested to see if he lands back with the Patriots, because I just don't see him anywhere else. Now, Phillip says the Raiders have talented players, 13th pick, solid cap. Great situation for anybody that wants to be there. McDaniels should go back to New England as the offensive coordinator. That's an interesting concept. I'm not going to say that he should or shouldn't, because we now know that Bill Belichick is officially going to retire as of right now. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, if it was me, I would have never hired McDaniels. You got a front row seat of this dude in Denver when he was in Denver, and it didn't go well. It went two seasons. What do you think was going to happen here? But then again, people change. I get it. People deserve the opportunity to change, right? I don't think he was the one that was going to do it. Let's move on to Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley, this dude here of the Los Angeles Chargers, he was a defensive coordinator for the LA Rams guy, if I'm not mistaken. And for me, in my opinion, he just came out of nowhere, really. Like, he just came out of nowhere and got this job over a guy that had tenure and had success in the league. And I never, from the first year under Brandon Staley, I knew that this wasn't going to work for them. Mr. Go For It on Fourth. That's what I call him every time, without fail. And if that's going to be your thing, make it be your thing. Just don't back down from it. If that's going to be your thing, it's your thing. That's fine. He got three seasons. It did not work out. They only made the playoffs once, and that was last year. And they have a quarterback. That's the crazy part. And I'm trying to think of the guy before him. I'm going to look it up. But the head coach before him, he was doing fine with Phillip Rivers. He was doing fine with Phillip Rivers, but the egregious part of his situation was that, oh man, I'm losing it. I don't remember who that guy is. Let's see. Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn had a great locker room. He was doing well. Phillip Rivers then retired. Anthony Lynn had the task of moving the team forward. Wasn't able to do it. He brought in Tyrod Taylor. That didn't work out. Got his lung punctured with a needle with the medical staff down there in L.A. Ugh. And then was not. And then Justin Herbert came in and lit the place up. Okay, he absolutely had a stellar season that year, and that was to me enough to get Anthony Lynn fired. It is what it is. Like you saw this guy in your practices every day, yet you tried to trot Tyrod Taylor out here. That means you were not observing what was going on the field. So it was egregious enough. You deserve to be fired. But Brandon Staley shouldn't have probably been the next guy in line. Chargers, Phillip says, Chargers, elite quarterback, fifth overall draft pick. Staley should have been gone, especially giving up 27 points to the Jags in the wild card. And he mentioned Anthony Lynn because I was having trouble with the name at the time. Thank you, sir. Agreed. Justin Herbert was there the whole time. Anthony Lynn screwed that up. Brandon Staley comes in. He was a defensive coordinator. So they touted it as, hey, he knows a little bit about offense too because he has a scheme against defenses. Mm-mm. This dude is not that great at what he did. So much so, he had, I want to say, 4 offensive coordinators under his reign. And that's not good. This year, he brought in Kellen Moore. That didn't work. It didn't work at all. They only made the playoffs once in 3 years. And when you have a guy that is arguably who has, let's say, has top 10 talent, and I might be being a little high, and that's hyperbole. Dude has like top 7 talent. Justin Herbert has top 7 talent. And he has Keenan Allen, and a bunch of other receivers whose name escaped me. But for some reason, this dude right here could not pull it together. One playoff appearance is egregious. One playoff appearance with the team that you had was egregious. Let's move forward. Next one, Arthur Smith. This guy got his job as, I don't want to say he cut his teeth, but he was the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans on that championship run. On that when Tannehill and Derrick Henry, I want to say 2019, I think that was. Yes, it was 2019. When Tannehill and Derrick Henry and them, they made the playoffs. They beat the Chiefs in the regular season. And then they came back and made it all the way to the AFC Championship game and lost it there. And that's where Arthur Smith got his starting role as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, for me, I thought Arthur Smith was going to do something significant in the NFC South. You're looking at an NFC South that had the Buccaneers, and then next thing we know, Tom Brady goes there. So they won a Super Bowl. That stinks. But after that, after Tom Brady left, after that one Super Bowl, it wasn't much after that. You should have been able to take over. You should have rebuilt on the first year and built onto that the second year. And then the third year, you should have taken off. Falcons, Phillip says, Falcons, solid roster, one very good QB away from being a serious contender, 8th pick, decent cap. Here's where I knew Arthur Smith was not going to be it. They drafted a running back in the first round. I think they drafted him with the number 8 pick, and the guy's name escapes me, and it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter because they never used him. Bijan Robinson, that's his name. Bijan Robinson was one of the most talented running backs out of the draft. The most touted running back out of the draft. People were super excited about Bijan during the season last season, and then he gets to Arthur Smith, and you think, hey, Arthur Smith is going to tap into the things that he knows. What he did with Tennessee, especially this year, in a year that you're talking about Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking about Jameis Winston and Derek Carr down in with the Saints, who was another coach I don't believe in down with the Saints. We'll talk about that. That's another subject for another time. And then the Panthers. You're talking about the Panthers, the Bucs, and the Saints in your division. You want to talk about mid to low? That's what we talk about with the NFC South. Arthur Smith had the opportunity to take over and win the division of the NFC South because he had the talent. In my opinion, he had the talent. He had the talent. He just wasn't utilizing it correctly. And I thought he was going to try to bring in what he knew best or what best worked for him, like Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill wasn't the greatest quarterback on earth, but they found resurgence in him from Miami and was able to make it to the AFC Championship. Him as the offensive coordinator was doing this. But I thought he was going to bring that to the Falcons. Never happened. They had a good situation down there, but he couldn't figure out which quarterback he wanted. That was a ping pong ball down there, quarterbacks. Anyway, I'm rambling. We going to keep it moving. Ronnie Rivera, Riverboat Ron. This guy here, man, I knew after – it didn't take me long to realize Ron Rivera wasn't going to be the guy to lead you anywhere. It didn't take me long to realize that he wasn't going to be the dude. He got hired when Washington was the football team, and then they had that whole situation where they were getting lawsuits all over the place. And it was just a tumultuous time. At that time, Ron Rivera he got fired with the Panthers. And I was like, look, Commanders, let's see. Second overall pick, loads of cap space. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Philip. Commanders hired Ron Rivera. That was back with the old ownership, the tumultuous ownership. I know that's the T word that's going to keep coming up, tumultuous. But them losers down there, I can't even remember the ownership's name because it doesn't matter. But, you know, they had their storied situations, you know, their lawsuits, making cheerleaders dress up in bikinis to model for them. And it was ugly down there. And Ron Rivera was down there to kind of clean it up a little bit and get this team back to winning so they can get the pressure off of the ownership. Never happened. Ron Rivera backed into the playoffs 1 year. When I say backed in, I mean they won like eight or nine games. That was when the Eagles Jalen Hurts' first year of starting. And that was the year that Doug Peterson got fired. So whatever year that was, I want to say 2021, maybe 2020. And Ron Rivera was there to bring some positivity into a bad situation because he was good with the Panthers. I almost said the 49ers. He was good with the Panthers. But that was never what he brought to the Washington Commanders. Like, the Commanders struggled to break 500. Struggled. When they made the playoffs, they won like 9 games. And that was, I think that was before we went to a 17 game playoff. I mean, situation, if I'm not mistaken. I had better hopes for Ron Rivera than what he ended up being. And once I saw one season with him, I knew it was over. And I hated that Bienemy left the Chiefs to go to Washington because I knew it was a sinking ship. There was nothing short. And I said this in previous podcasts. Go back and look it up. I wish I could tell you exactly what podcast it was. And I might tell you next time. But there was nothing short of a Super Bowl that Ron Rivera could have done to make him keep his job. Nothing. Because making the playoffs wasn't enough at this point. Making the playoffs wasn't enough. You'd have to be more. You have to do more than just make the playoffs. Okay? So I knew that Eric Bieniemy going down there and being the offensive coordinator was not going to work out in anybody's favor. Philip says, hold on. An Eric Bieniemy promotion is possible to HC. Him and a new advisor, Rick Spielman, work together in Minnesota. Good point. Thank you for that. The odd thing, though, is hiring multiple advisors just to promote a guy. I'm leaning into the possibility that Eric Bieniemy probably won't be in Washington. And here's the thing. I think Eric Bieniemy might have to settle for a Panthers type of job. And the reason I say that, and I'm only bringing this up because you brought it up. When you talk about Eric Bieniemy as a first-time head coach who has the pedigree, has the resume of great coaches who have gotten chance, or great offensive coordinators who've gotten chances in the past, I think that he's going to have to go to a situation that's not the best and make the best of a bad thing. Make chicken salad with chicken poop. I mean, that's kind of the situation that he's probably being put in. He doesn't have that cachet as he used to. You know, he's coming off this bad situation in Washington in the nation's capital. And it's just, and he did, don't get me wrong. Sam Howell looks better than I thought he could. And that's being real. But still, ultimately, your record says a lot about what you got going on. I actually think he can get the Panthers job as well. That's the job I'm talking about. That's the job I think he's going to have to get. I think he's going to have to get that job more than any of them. I'm trying to think of who else he would get. And I think the Panthers job should be the number one on his list. Being that as there was rumors that, the Panthers reached out to Jim Harbaugh, right? I think Jim is the Michigan head coach that just won the Super Bowl. I mean, won the college football championship. Jim is thinking about coming to the NFL. And I think there was a report, if I'm not mistaken, there was a report saying that Jim wanted control. That's not something the Panthers are going to give up. David Tepper's going to give up with the Panthers. So Eric Bieniemy being the rookie coach that he is, you could probably, you know, keep a little bit of control with that situation. Let's see. Watch him bring CEH to pair with Miles Sanders if he gets the Panthers gig. I mean, if you want to look, CEH looks different this year. He's looked different this year, but that's with less usage. And Miles Sanders is not bad. And Miles Sanders, where is Miles Sanders? Oh, he's down there with the Panthers. because he got signed right after that Super Bowl run from the Eagles. So, but we keep it moving. We keep it moving. Mike Vrabel. Now, this is a guy who I think is a really, really, really good head coach. I thought that there's two mistakes that I believe Mike Vrabel made. One, he held on to the quarterback too long. Two, he held on to the running back too long. Ryan Tannehill, and I just talked to you about Arthur Smith, who was their offensive coordinator. If you're going to ask me, I'm going to say when Arthur Smith left, that's when you should have just went ahead and moved on from Tannehill, at least Tannehill. I understand not Derrick Henry because I think he won the I think he – didn't he get to like 2,000 yards 1 year? If I'm not tripping, he got to 2,000 yards like the same year that Arthur Smith left. But still, once you get to 2,000 yards, you've been shot. Look at Chris Johnson. Same team. Same dang team. Chris Johnson was electrifying. Next thing you know, he got to 2,000 yards, or I think he got close. I think he got 2,000 if I'm not tripping. Just saying, he likes CEH. Yeah, I know he does. And so I knew when they kept Derrick Henry, probably after that 2,000 yard season, they kept Derrick Henry a little bit too long. Tannehill, they definitely kept too long. Tannehill was on borrow time this whole time, and next thing you know, they're still trotting him out there as a head, the quarterback. And it just was time for him to go about 2 years ago, in my opinion. 2021, out of COVID, you know. And so they kept him too long. And right, and Mike Vrabel was seeing success with his defense, and he was seeing success a lot of places. And next thing you know, it just kind of went gradually. Phillip, Titans, solid young quarterback, 7th pick, loads of cap space. Vrabel could look at the Falcons, even though Smith was from his staff, or Seahawks if Dan Quinn doesn't get the job. About the Dan Quinn thing. I know he's touted, but he had his opportunity with the Falcons, and I don't know he will get another chance, but I don't know if he should get another chance. To be fair, he did have Dimitroff, who I thought he was – Dimitroff was his GM at the time, and I thought he was an idiot. But Dan Quinn also had some dynamic offensive coordinators when he was with Atlanta. I don't know if he'll find that again. We'll see though. We'll see. But Mike Vrabel was doing fine for like 4 years because he got hired in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. And then somewhere around 2021, just everything went to crap for him. And I will continue to say this until I'm blue in the face. I think it was because he held on to Ryan Tannehill too long and Derrick Henry. Mainly, I think it's because he held on to specifically Ryan Tannehill for far too long. That's just what I think. Thank you, Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator, Dan Quinn's offensive coordinator in Atlanta. So we keep it moving. Next one. Now we're talking retirees. Pete Carroll just comes out and drops a bomb on everybody and says, I'm retiring. Pete Carroll was the oldest head coach, if I'm not mistaken, in the NFL. And I think he's 71 going on 72 this year. And decided it was just time. It's time. And I didn't see this coming this year. I thought it was going to be next year. I thought he was going to leave on a better note. I thought he was going to at least let Geno get through this 2-year contract, 3-year contract. He signed a 3-year. I thought he was going to let Geno get through at least 3 years and see what happens after that. But he said it's time to hang it up for him. He said it's time to hang it up. Seahawks. Phillips says talented roster, solid young players. And I agree. I felt like Pete Carroll was trying to recreate the Legion of Boom, and I knew that wasn't going to work. I knew it wasn't going to work. But, you know, with Jamal Adams and the kid they recently drafted, Witherspoon, and I'm missing somebody. But I thought they were trying to recreate the Legion of Boom. And to me, recreate the glory days, it rarely works out. Let's say rarely, not never, rarely works out. So Pete Carroll decides he's retiring. I think he had like 14 seasons as the coach. It's crazy how time flies, right? It's nuts how time flies. Yeah, 14 seasons. And it feels like just yesterday with the Reggie Bush and the – can't even remember the quarterback's name. But it just feels – like yesterday when that happened. And next thing you know, you're retiring 14 seasons later. Somebody said that maybe Russell Wilson needed Pete Carroll as much as Pete Carroll needed Russell Wilson. Maybe that's the truth. We'll never know. We will never know. I haven't seen anybody come up with the situation that maybe Pete Carroll wants to do the Denver Broncos coach. Maybe Pete Carroll wants to go to another team. I don't think that, because he's of that golden age. He's in the golden age. Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, I thought that was the great QB running back duo in college history, football history, in my opinion. Agreed. Matt Leinart, and it just seems like yesterday all that was happening. But now here we are 14 years later, and, man, Pete Carroll's retiring. And I'll talk about something else outside the lines later, but if I can remember, because sometimes I forget. Pete Carroll, 14 seasons, led the Seahawks to a Super Bowl. Got to the NFC Championship one other time, created one of the greatest defenses that we've ever seen. Salute to a legend. Salute to a legend in Pete Carroll. We're going to miss seeing him chew 16 pieces of bubble yum with a big jaw of bubble yum running down the sideline, screaming at players and referees. We're going to miss that. So it's going to be interesting to see who he has next. But let's see the last one who we have. I saw today that Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have decided that it's best that Bill moves on. And I don't know if this is just retirement. I don't know if it's him moving on to another team. But he will not be a Patriot anymore. And I'm going to tell you, I thought I'd be super excited about this day. But honestly, it just means what it has me doing, seeing Pete Carroll retire, seeing Bill Belichick retire, it has me thinking like, dude, time has flown by. 24 seasons, 2000. 24 seasons, yeah, 2000 or maybe before that. I can't even remember. But time has really flown by, because 2003 does not seem that long ago. It doesn't. Patriots, loads of cap space, third pick. It does not seem like it's been 24 years, but it has been. And Bill Belichick was dominant in his time. And people are always going to say he was nothing without Brady. Just because Brady was able to win one without him. It would have meant more to me if Brady was able to win more than one without him. But it is what it is. I'm not a Patriots fan, so I'm not going to be able to give him the flowers that he probably deserves. But this is the passing of a torch. We're seeing all the old guys leave. And one thing this does is make me think about the future with the Chiefs, because Andy Reid's not too far away from Bill Belichick. And people say, oh, he's not as old as Bill. He's not. No, he's not. But I don't know if it's going to be as far behind as we think. As far behind as we think. Now, I think we're over that part. We'll see who gets hired at these positions. People are already playing Ding Dong, the Witch is dead. Both the NFL and the CFB, let's talk about Nick Saban. Nick Saban decides to retire too. We're talking about the passing of the torch. It's a lot of this happening right now. It's time for the next generation to take over. The older generation's finally letting go, and we're finally able to take over. So we'll see how this works out to move forward. Quickly now, we don't have too much time. Let's look at the playoffs. So the AFC playoff seeding, the AFC, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Browns, the Dolphins, the Steelers all have their playoff spot. And I'm shocked that the Texans were able to win the AFC South. That's crazy. The Jags messed up a lot of stuff. The 49ers for the NFC, the 49ers won the number one seed. The Cowboys, the Lions, the Bucks, the Eagles, the Rams, and the Packers. Now, I had something here. There we go. Here's the setup for the bracket that is the 2023-2024 playoffs. Baltimore's that one seed. They got the bye. San Francisco's the one seed. They got their bye. So Houston faces Cleveland. Kansas City faces Miami. Buffalo faces Pittsburgh. Tampa faces Philadelphia, which is okay. Every one of these has a storyline. Detroit faces the Rams. Dallas faces Green Bay. Everybody says, I've been seeing all over the place that the NFL is rigged. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But Houston playing Cleveland, the team that got rid of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is now in Cleveland. He's not playing because he's injured, but still, it's a thing. Kansas City. They played in the regular season. Kansas City and Miami played in the regular season over in Germany. And what, I think it's four players that are currently with the Miami Dolphins that have been with the Chiefs at one point or another. That's not to include coaching staff. And so this could be their revenge game. And Buffalo versus Pittsburgh. Can Buffalo stick around and be the guys that they have been, keep their winning streak going against the Steelers, who have been iffy all year? Iffy all year. Phillips says it is expected to be a wind chill of negative 30 degrees at Arrowhead Saturday. No thanks. I will not be there. Okay. For the NFC, San Francisco gets the number one seed. Tampa Bay, Philadelphia. Tampa Bay and Philadelphia, I feel like if in the last 3 years they've played each other, the last 2 years for sure, they got beat by Tampa. Philadelphia got beat by Tampa in Jalen Hurts' first year playing, starting. And that was Tampa going to the Super Bowl. And then Philadelphia beat Tampa on the way to the Super Bowl a year after that, and that was last year. This year, they play each other again. Baker Mayfield versus Jalen Hurts, so forth, so on, and what have you. Detroit versus the Rams. That means Matthew Stafford, the first son of Detroit, goes home. Yeah. We'll see how that works out. Dallas and Green Bay. We already, Mike McCarthy Bowl. The Mike McCarthy Bowl. So, you know, you'll see all over the place that everybody's got, oh, the NFL is rigged because there's so much storylines with all these teams. Honestly, the teams are so intertwined. Everybody's hiring everybody. You could have a storyline in any of these games. For real, for real. For real, for real. It's a thing. So, so you see, these are the seeds. We about to get it on this Saturday. The Chiefs and the – oh, man, you almost had me lying. The Chiefs and the Dolphins is the game I'm looking at. And let's look at this schedule again. Actually, I had the schedule somewhere, but don't worry about it. Please, if you want to get some of these games, you're going to have to subscribe to some services. Peacock is the one that you got to see if you're out of the market, out of the Kansas City market, to get the Chiefs game. Let's see. Got a comment here. Four former Chiefs return: Tyreek Hill, Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, and Emmanuel Agba. Yes. You're going to have for this week, you're going to have to make sure that you, if you're out of the Kansas City market, you're going to have to download Peacock, sign up for the trial, and then either pay the $5.99 or sign up for the trial. It is what it is. And that's the NFL going to the highest bidder. They're doing whatever. So, but we keep it moving. First, and I thank you all for rocking with me. It's been a long season. I had to take some time off to make sure I deal handle the family or whatever. But I appreciate you rocking with me all season. I'll be here all throughout the playoffs. Hopefully, my boys make it. If they don't, it is what it is. Again, this is the 100-yard dash where I'm covering the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards between that. Hold on. Let's see. It will also be showed in KC on Channel 41. Thank you, sir. Much obliged. Philip Magruder, that's my co-worker over at Chiefs Focus, so definitely go check him out. Has all the stats. We'll be doing a draft later on this year. Please download PSF up in this corner here, Pro Sports Fans app, and we talk. It's like the Manning Cast, but it's regular people, and you can get on there, say what you want, talk what you want. We go at it on Sundays and Saturdays and whatever days that the Chiefs play, and they have all 32 teams. So thank you all for listening. Again, postseason, I'm still going to be here, so come back. I appreciate everybody, and I think that's all I got, so deuces.